We are so grateful that a Savior is born for the wonderful work that God has been able to accomplish in us and through us. I was thinking as we were worshiping this morning, as we were preparing and thinking about all of that, you know, the world that we live in is not real friendly to the gospel. But don't use that as an excuse. The world that Jesus came into 2,000 years ago was less friendly to the gospel than even today. And so it said, the people who are walking in darkness, a great light came. Don't be discouraged by what you see happening in our world and what's taking place around us, because the power and the light of Christ can shine brighter than any darkness. Amen? Amen. Continue to keep that in your hearts and minds. And so, as we are kind of celebrating this opportunity, we ask that you would help us in that celebration. For the last few years, what we've tried to do is we've purchase gift cards ahead of time, anticipating that you're in support of this and believing that, because actually our largest Christmas Eve offerings have come since we have started doing this. And so it tells us that you want to reach to our local community at Christmas. And so as you're exiting, there are three places where you'll be able to pick up gift cards. They are right out at this hallway right here. There is one table. There is also a table at this end by the wall where the prayer chapel is, and there's also a table down by the bookstore on your way out. So one of those three, can't stop at all three, just saying. One of those three places you can go. Here's the rules that we use for this. You can't give the gift cards. They are not for you personally, okay? Would you say this with me? They are not for me personally. Go ahead. Got it. Because we've kind of had a little problem. So I'm just trying to make sure that we got this real clear. They're not for you personally. We're not just saying, Merry Christmas, here, take these. They are for you to give away. You can't give away to a family member. Okay? That's not the intent. It's not to whatever. So we say one per family that you would take those cards. And then we have enough left over. Next week, we'll say it again, and if you can be able to tell they're gone, and we can give them out. We ask that you would pray about how you could give them to someone. Could be a neighbor. It could be someone you work with. It could be someone particularly that God would lead your heart to give to. We ask also that we've been contacted by the bell ringers. I always thought it was a great thing to give it to the bell ringers. But here, I get it. They said, don't do that because it looks like they're taking and putting something in their pocket that's supposed to go in the bucket. So it's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. So please, you know, buy hot chocolate for that bell ringer. You know, like do something, you know, if you're wherever, just get something and coming back and try to, that's a different story. So that would be fine. So we're challenging you to be able to think about how you can give them away. We've tried to process, is this the best method? But we kind of think it is, because you are all spread out in about a 5-county area. So we figure that it's going out to all of these locations where you are going to give it in your own kind of areas. And that's great. So we're excited about that. So pray about the opportunity, who you're going to give it to. Be thinking about how God can be able to use that to really bless someone this year and make a difference. It's really it's surprising, because we hear so many, and we get a bunch of thank yous that come back that say, wow, I've kind of given up hope about Christmas because it seemed like everybody was trying to get, but somebody actually was giving, and wow, that was awesome. So we've had some great stories that have come, so we ask that you would do that. And we're asking that you would remember for our Christmas Eve offering between now and Christmas Eve that you would just be putting in something that would note that, that say this goes toward that. We're challenging you also to think about how you would give for Christmas Eve, because sometimes we try to give presents to everyone and we forget it's Jesus' birthday and he's the one we're celebrating. So try to remember that. Also, we're just saying pay it forward, do something, be looking for ways that you could be able to bless people in your world. Think about the fact that you're letting your light shine, and how are you going to do that this year to make a difference in the world that is around you. The scripture says this in Isaiah. Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Teach us this morning. We are so excited about celebrating your birth. Help us to better understand how we can communicate that to our world. In Christ's name, amen. Let me talk about several things, and all of these verses are taken from Isaiah 40. So if you have your Bible and you're looking at that, that's a great reference tool that we're using. When I think about the fact that, you know, over 700 years before the birth of Christ, Isaiah was writing these things, you think, wow. Bible prophecy is just incredible. It's incredible. If there's anything that would really point to the fact that the Word of God can be trusted, Bible prophecy is one of those. Because you look at, like, what are the probability factors of being able to predict something like this happening? Really, just totally, you know, incapable. They would be exponential. But we know that that's the message of Christ, and that is how Jesus' birth was predicted by hundreds and thousands of years even before. Jesus delivers a new plan when he comes. We see that we're talking about the coming deliverer, the coming deliverer. And I don't know, it's so easy for us to forget. We think about presents for one another, and we think about presents for ourselves, but realizing that this was the greatest present that was ever given. It was the greatest gift that was ever. And what did he bring? He brought the deliverance that could be brought to us. And so as we try to understand what that means, we realize that this was the great plan. And what has he delivered in your life? When you think about it, like, think just for a moment. You might even write down notes. But what has he delivered in your life? What has he given to you? You know, I have to think about my own, and I start thinking about my life before Christ and my life now. And I think, wow, there was so much purpose that came to my life that was not there before. There was a sense of peace. I can remember one of my college friends coming and visiting me, and he said, Arlie, you're different. And I said, really? And I was like really excited to hear what that meant. I've been told I was different anyway before, but I knew he meant something related to God, so that was a good thing. And he said, there's like a real peace about you that's not been there. Wow, boy, was that a great opportunity for witness and to share. Well, here's what Jesus has done for my life. A purpose and a peace and a sense of direction and a sense that just never was there before. I mean, God gave me, you know, that kind of a peace no matter what my fears were. And when I would worry or be in fear, I knew that I had something now that I just didn't have before. Those were the gifts that God delivered to my life. And so when we talk about that, we realize that Jesus brings a new plan of salvation. Scripture in Isaiah says, comfort, comfort my people. What greater comfort could there be than to know that when I die, I have something far better that's promised to me than I would ever have in this world. Something far better that God has planned. And no matter on my, whatever the day is, on my best day here, it's not going to be anything compared to heaven and what God has planned for us. And so I realized the plan of salvation. And so why wouldn't I want to share that with as many people as possible? Why would I want to keep it to myself? Why would I not look for opportunities and pray for ways that I could make a difference in the lives of those around me, that they too might be able to know the same hope and the same promise that's been given? You see, Jesus brings a plan of forgiveness. And that's why it says that her sin has been paid for. A plan of forgiveness. You know, in as much as you would want to try to be able to really forgive or whatever, nothing compares to the forgiveness that God has, that he extends to us. No matter what you've done, no matter what's a part of your past, when we confess our sins, the scripture says he's faithful and just and forgives. And just like that. And then it says he remembers it no more. That means that no matter what happened, God will not bring it back to me. Now, people will. People will. They'll say, oh, remember when you... Yeah, I do, but you know God forgave me. And so I'm trusting in his forgiveness. And that's what we have to. No matter what's a part of your past, no matter what's a part of your background, when we confess, he says he forgives. And then we walk in newness of life, and he will not remember it. Now, the enemy, when it comes back to you, the enemy will bring it back to you. He wants to bring it back to you to discourage you. He wants you to bring it back to you to defeat you, to think you'll never be good enough. You'll never be able to measure up. You could never. And he'll keep throwing those things at you. But remember, that's not God speaking. That is not God. Know God's word well enough so when you hear that voice, you know which voice is talking to you. And to know that, no, that's not, because my sin has been paid for. We also know that he brings a plan of peace. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, not from yourself. It's a gift. It's a gift. You can't earn a gift. You can't do enough to get a gift. That's just God's grace that gives you something you don't deserve. It gives you what you don't deserve. That's the grace of God. Because if you could earn it or if you deserved it, then you would think it's something in my strength and my ability. But when you remember, no, you didn't. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. So because I believe, because I trusted him, that's what comes to me. You see, Jesus brings a plan for a whole new life. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Why are so many Christians not living a full life? You know, why is it that we don't see the light of Christ in so many people's lives? Because I think that they're listening more to the voice of the enemy than they are to the voice of God. I think they're allowing those kinds of things to defeat them. I think they're not thinking consciously of the gift that's been given to us, of the hope and the peace and the joy and all that is there. And I believe they're not receiving those gifts. Because when we receive the gift, what a difference that makes for each of our lives. Now, Jesus delivers a new purpose. And so we start to understand life with a different perspective than what we have. We see that Jesus brings a life with purpose. He said, prepare the way for the Lord. So what are we to do? My purpose and my mission is I'm to point people to Christ. So if I get up every day thinking, how am I going to prepare the way for Christ in people's hearts? How am I going to, if I'm going to grumble and complain about life, I have such a miserable life and whatever, then immediately I'm going to be just like everybody else in our world. And how am I preparing people to know Jesus? I'm no different than they are. We've been called to be different. We've been called to live a different life. We've been called to have a life of purpose. If I'm going to go home and grumble and complain about the people at church, why would your unbelieving spouse even want to come to church? Like, does that make sense? Like, I mean, because I keep thinking, why do people go home and grumble and complain about a Christian to their children or to their unbelieving spouse? I think, like, what are you thinking? Like, do you think that's going to make them want Jesus? I don't think so. So, I mean, like, why don't we think a little bit more about how we live our life so we're pointing people to the Savior, preparing the way that is there? So if I think about that, I think about everything that I do, I make conscious choices to light the way for Christ. And so when I let the light of Christ shine in me, it helps others see the Savior. And so that's what I got to keep doing. So my purpose and my mission, how can I be able to share Christ with others? And so when someone sees Christ in me, yes, that's a win. Yes, that's a win. Because somebody is now seen. Or if somebody that I'm praying for or is in my world comes to Christ, yes, that's a win. Because I was part of that journey. Because I have been preparing the way so that would happen. That's how I have to keep thinking so that I can make sure I come with purpose on a daily basis. Jesus brings a life of fulfillment. The glory of the Lord will be revealed and the people will see it together. So there's something fulfilling inside of me. There's something that is like, wow, this is great. There's something that's, I can't explain to you, but when I get to share Christ and get to witness to someone, there's a joy that's in my heart that it's just like, wow. When I get to lead somebody to Christ and get to invite them to receive the Savior, unmatched. It's just like, wow. It's just like juiced up all over because you have an excitement because you've made a difference in somebody's eternity. And so you say, wow, I'm praying for that opportunity. I'll tell you what, many, they say like 90% of Christians have never led somebody to Christ personally. Wow, really? That 90%? Now, I don't think those are our statistics at Christ Wesleyan because our main way of people coming to the Savior is through you personally because you've prepared the way, you've shared the gospel, and somebody's received. But I will say, if you're not praying for those opportunities and you're not looking for those opportunities, it's not going to happen. So what you do is you start praying, Lord, give me that opportunity. Let me see how I can be able to share the light. And boy, what a difference in fulfillment will come to your life. It's Jesus brings a life with meaning beyond the promises of people. You know, people, let me say, people will always disappoint you. People will always disappoint you. They don't even know your expectations for one. So they're never going to be able to live up to your expectations for two. And even if they knew them, they couldn't live up to them. Because we have these unreal expectations for the people in our lives. So let me just say, get it out of the way. People are going to disappoint you. That's the way it is. Because Scripture says, all people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. How long do the flowers of the field last? Not long. I forget what the name of it is. But it's a nice big plant and it's got big flowers on it. I'll remember what it is. But nope. Good try. Yeah, that's it. It's a hibiscus. And it has these beautiful blooms that come for one day. That's it. They're gone. Like, I think, wow, what a waste. I mean, just one day. Couldn't you make it go like 3, 4, 5, even a week? But this is the way people are. Their faithfulness is totally, it could be one day. It could be one day. That's why you can't put your hope in people. And I'm not saying you become bitter and angry and resentful, but I'm just saying you just can't expect that. So if you give your expectations away, life is a whole lot better. When you expect people and expect responses and expect things, you're going to be disappointed. But when you say, Lord, you know what? I'm giving these expectations to you. I'm not going to expect a return. And when you do, it's like, wow. Because when you get nothing, you didn't expect anything. When you get something, it's like, whoa, I didn't expect that. Right? So realize there is a life with meaning beyond the promises of people. And Jesus brings a life that's far greater than anyone could promise, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Far more than anybody could be able to give to us. Well, Jesus brings a new power to our lives as well. And so as we look at that, we see what it is. Jesus brings a power to see beyond the present. That's an important part. He says, the grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. What do we know? Once again, people are temporary. And their allegiance is temporary. Who knew better than Jesus? One week they're all saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Next week, crucify, crucify. Same people. Same people. Who knew better how much people are like grass? And that's why do we expect people to be any different? People are very fickle. That's just the way it is. So give your expectations to God and allow God to be able to work through it. He wants us to see beyond the present. Jesus brings a power to see the greater value in the eternal rather than the temporal. The eternal lasts forever. Temporal, it being temporary, it's only short-lived. He says the grass withers, flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. So start thinking what's eternal in your life. Wouldn't it be far greater to give eternal presents for Christmas instead of temporary ones? I would think so. So what are the things that are eternal? When you share the light of Christ with someone, you've done something eternal. Now, there are many times there are steps that lead up to that. And there are ways that you can touch people's lives. One of the things why we do Narnia, we do these big opportunities, is so that we can be part of those steps of people coming to Christ. Once people come on the campus, they think, I wonder what the church is like. Hey, I wonder. They hear the gospel. They get an opportunity to receive Christ, and the difference is made. That becomes eternal. So we have to say all that we're doing are steps to help us to get people to that point of the eternal. So start thinking in your life, in your world, what are you doing that's eternal versus temporary? And so how can God use? Because God gives us a power to see beyond the present. He gives us a power to accomplish what we could never have done before. He says, you who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. What is the high mountain in your life? Something that, like, maybe it's like out of reach. What is God kind of pushing you to do that's out of your reach? Because let me tell you this much, he's going to give you the power to do it. If God has called you to do anything in your life and in your world, remember, he's always going to equip you with the power to do it. Jesus brings a power to share what we could never have shared before. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to let the light of Christ shine through your life. Don't be afraid to let people in your world see Jesus in you. As we're looking at this time and Christmas and all the things that are happening, let the light of Christ shine brighter than ever. You see, because Jesus brings a new presence to our lives. Jesus brings the presence of a good shepherd that loves and cares for us. This is such a great picture of Jesus. He tends his flock like a shepherd. That shepherd would give his very life for those sheep. He's just not hired to do a job. He's given him his very self for that. And he said, he loves and cares for us. Whenever there's danger, that shepherd is making sure that he has placed himself between danger and us. You think about how he cares for us. It says Jesus brings the presence of the good shepherd that reaches out to us and gathers us in his arms. He gathers the lambs in his arms. To do that, he's got to reach to us. He's got to draw us to himself. He's going to carry us. And when we are injured, when there is pain and there is struggle and there are things that are a part of our life, he just is reaching out to pull us to himself. Don't resist that. Pull close to him during those hard times. Pull close to him during difficult times in your life, and you will find that that's the kind of time that he wants to draw you near, and he wants to carry you in his arms. He wants to make sure that you can see that. Jesus brings the presence of a good shepherd that carries us close to his heart. He said he carries them close to his heart. That's what it is. Whenever we're going through hard times and hard places, whenever we're going through, don't be angry and resentful that why isn't this happening and why is that and why does God let this and why are that. Just draw near to him. He knows far better what's needed for our life than we do. And we draw near to him and he pulls us close to his heart. It shows how much he loves us and cares for us. And we may not understand, and we may not be able to fit it all together, but that good shepherd loves us that much. Jesus brings the presence of a good shepherd that gently leads us in the path we need to go. He gently leads. He gently leads. God, he's not pushing. He's gently leading. And you know, for someone to lead, that means they have to be ahead. And that means that you're out there, they're not behind you pushing, they're ahead of you guiding and leading. That's what the Good Shepherd wants to do in your life. He wants to surround you with his love. He wants to carry you in his arms. He wants to gently lead you in the pathway. Let me say, there is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. And when we look at this, no one is as great. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breath of his hand marked off the heavens? There is no one like our God. The fact is, when it said, who has measured the waters, can you imagine, like, all the water of the world could fit in the hollow of his hand? Like, you think, wow. Would you say it with me? There is no one like our God. Yes. No one is as powerful. Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who could do that? There's no one as powerful. Say it again. There is no one like our God. There is no one with all wisdom. And you've got to remember, no matter what's happening in my life, God is smarter than I am. He knows. I wouldn't want to serve a God who was not as smart as me. That would be pretty sick. No. Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Who did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? What should you say? There is no one like our God. Again. When I ask you the fourth time, you'll get it right away. I know it. No one who is everywhere. Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. We can know that he is everywhere. Every place I go, wherever I step, God is already there. Because, amen. Your adventure, is there number five? Praise God for a deliverer in Israel. There it is. Praise God for a deliverer in Jesus. Scripture says he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Because you're right. Your adventure is to let your light shine. Let the world around you see the purpose of God working through you, the power of God equipping you, and the presence of God walking with you. Would you pray that prayer with me, that you would let the world around you see the purpose of God working through you, the power of God equipping you, and the presence of God walking with you, because there was no one like our God. Father, let our adventure be seen as your purpose would work through us. Help us to see the power of God equipping us and the presence of God walking with us. Lord, as we take these gift cards, Let us remember that. As we are out in our community and our workplaces and our schools and wherever we are, let the light of Christ point people to the Savior. We give you thanks for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. And God bless you.